Well, good evening. It is so good to have you here at Refuge 529. I love Matthew. One of the challenges is in church, oftentimes, we think church starts at a certain point when a certain thing happens, and that's the start. And we think church ends when a certain thing happens, and that's the end. And so I thought it was kind of funny, and Matt says, well, we're not really Refuge 529 because we're starting at 550. But I was having church the minute I walked in. So church for me started at about 510. And some of you at different time, depending on what time you kind of all roamed in. But we do have, and it's one thing not to know when church starts, but the bad thing is to think that church ended and it really didn't. How many of you know we're supposed to be the church, which means, quote, when we do some final thing here, it's not supposed to be, okay, church is over, now I'll do church next week. We are the church, right? And everywhere you go, we're the church. And we're going to take an offering in a moment, and the bag's going to go by. And I had somebody tell me one time, it was really funny, they asked me if the church could afford something. And I asked him, I don't know, how much you got? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, the church isn't this, like, I don't know, this organization, corporate thing somewhere with money orchards where you just go and pick money and it, like, supports church. Church is the people. So you tell me, can we afford it? He goes, I don't know if we can. I said, I don't know either. What do you think we can afford? And so I want to encourage you, each week when we pass the offering bag, you are the church. And we, with faith from God and the resources that come through the church, we desire to use it faithfully and to use it in a way that honors Him and to do as much ministry as those resources allow us to do in a particular given month or year. And there's a group of people that sit down and they establish budgets anticipating what your faith will be that year. We do. How would you like to have to anticipate your friend's faith for a year? And you can do anything else. You couldn't plan on doing anything without the faith of your friend's participation in your life. Well, that's church. That's what we do. So when the offering bag goes by and you realize, you might think my part doesn't really count. Sure it does. It really counts. Why? Because you're the church. You're the church. So let's bless it. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to be the church. I thank you for each person, each life represented here. Lord, I thank you for the resources that you've blessed each one of us with. Lord, we give thanks in all things. If even right now we're in a situation where we don't have a lot of resources, we still thank you for what we do have. We thank in advance for an increase in our own lives. God, I ask that you would bless each person here that we might be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that bag's just going to go by. If for some reason that bag doesn't touch your hand tonight and you want it to touch your hand, it'll be sitting on the AJ Gator's bar over there at the end of church tonight, and you can feel free to put your offering in there. Amen? Well, can you remember what we've been talking about? We started a series of messages last week. The title of the messages are what? Walk across the room. And all right, I was going to ask for some testimonies tonight, but I have a lot to share. And so I might not do that tonight, but feel free. If you had a walk across the room experience this week where you actually left, and last week we talked about this, that the greatest gift you could ever give a person ever, you ready? Is an introduction to their Creator. It is absolutely, positively the greatest gift. One day, some of you who aren't married yet are going to be married. And some of you one day, hopefully, if that's your heart's desire, and God willing, you want to have kids, all right? And some of you are thinking, I don't have kids. I am one of those, and you don't want one of those. I got you. But you may change your mind because you may realize you're not as bad as you thought you were. So what happens is, do you realize that the greatest gift a parent could give their kids is not room and board? It is nice, though, and some of you enjoy it so much you just stay around forever. I know, I'm a dad, all right? But the greatest gift you could actually give a son or daughter is actually an introduction to their Creator. Now, for me, one of the greatest gifts I ever gave my grandfather was an introduction to his Creator. It really is the greatest gift. And we talked about last week, this is review, that in order for that to be, say you decided, okay, I want to start giving that gift, what happens is you have to leave your comfort zone. And tonight I actually took a picture of people operating in the comfort zone. And I'm going to post it on Facebook, and some of you know who you were. And you were here early, and that was fine. But there was a circle of people, and they were like eating food and sharing chicken wings and laughing and having a good time. But they're very familiar with each other. They're friends, and it's a wonderful place to be. And I said, I like the comfort zone. And they were sitting there in that comfort zone sharing life. But I'm pretty sure everybody that was sitting in that circle has already had an introduction to their Creator and has already said yes. And so the challenge is, all of us who live in those circles, we talked about last week, at some point you have to leave that circle and go to the zone of the unknown, where you're not really quite sure how they're going to respond. And you only do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. You only say what you're sensing the Holy Spirit to say. And you only leave that comfort zone when you're sensing the Holy Spirit nudging you to leave. But I have a feeling as we become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He nudges more than we realize. And so we talked about making that journey, going across the room. And then we talked about Jesus as our example, how Jesus literally walked across the galaxy, left heaven, to give us the greatest gift he ever could, and that was an introduction to our Creator and to the Father. And then I asked you to do this last week as a homework assignment. I asked you to consider, who was it in your life that walked across the room for you and helped introduce you to your Creator? And some of you were, you could just see during the message, you were quite emotional and you were beginning to process this. And for me, I'm ending the message, and there was a young mom sitting here, and she's got two kids, and she doesn't live in her area anymore. She lives in Tennessee, and she sends me a text when I'm up here. And I don't know if you noticed, I got kind of choked up at the end of the message, but in it she said, "Pastor Mike, thank you for walking across the room for me." And she wouldn't mind me even telling her story briefly. The first time I met her, I went to give her a hug, and she about like pushed me four rows back. "Don't touch me, I don't know you, and you're kind of weirding me out." I'm like, okay, we have some boundary issues here, and I just crossed too far across the room, too fast. But then about 3 or 4 months after just being a part of her life, she came up to me one night after a service, and she stood there, and she had tears in her eyes, and she says, "Pastor Mike," and I said, "Yes, sweetie." She says, "I want a hug. I don't want a side hug, and I don't want a pat on my back, but I want a hug like a godly father would give a godly daughter. I want you to hold me. I really want you to hug me." And I began to hold her and began to hug her, and she just began to cry, and she began to weep. And she is one of the most amazing, godly, fun women I know in the world today, and she's gone the nations with me, and she's done all kinds of cool Jesus stuff and seen miracles and stuff. And she was here last week, and she says, "You know, I want to be a walk across the room Christian where I go." So tonight's part two. So you make this journey, and you walk across the room. Now what? Because you're going to one of the scariest places you could ever go, that unknown spot. And even though the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it, have you ever just at least had this thought in your mind, what happens if he leaves me hanging? What happens if you get over there and he doesn't tell me what to do? And I want to talk tonight about a principle called living life three-dimensional, or life in the 3D. And there's basically three Ds. D number one is develop friendships. D number two is discover their story before you attempt to share yours. And D number three is discern next steps. And so we're going to talk about that briefly for tonight. But first of all, one of the things you have to do is when you develop friendships, the idea of developing a friendship, how many know you have friends now that before you became a friend, you were not their friend? Something had to happen. Now, there's this thing in the body of Christ that we like to call the inverse principle. And what happens is the longer you're in the body of Christ, the longer you're a Christian, exponentially over time, the fewer and fewer people you know who don't know Christ. Something begins to happen. Like when you first enter a relationship with your Creator, the first time you say yes to Jesus and yes to the Father, it's like you're almost all of your friends, especially if you don't grow up in the church, so many of your friends are unchurched. They don't know God. And so you have all these friends who don't know God. But the longer you hang around Christian people, it seems like the fewer and fewer people you know, or the fewer and fewer people you have normal interactions with, are the very people that Jesus died for who need to know him, and yet we don't even know him anymore. It's called the inverse principle, and it happens. Now, and it's natural, but it's not good. It's bad. So the first step of developing friendships is you have to become very intentional. You have to do it on purpose. Or this day will become a week, and a week will become a month, and a month will become a year, and a year will become 5 or 10 years, and you realize, I really don't know very many people who need Jesus. How many of you, though, would be honest and say, there's a few people in the world who still need him? A lot of people, you know? So we have to first decide to be intentional about developing friendships. And you don't develop friendships on accident. Now, here's the cure for the inverse principle. You ready? In case you have this disease like me, here's the cure. You need to see people like God sees them. You need to have a heart of compassion for those that are far from God. There's this really weird thing that happens, which is worse than the inverse principle. It's one thing not to have much contact with people who don't know the Lord. It's another thing to be disgusted by them. It's another thing to not even like them. There's another thing to go at all, take all possible precautions to avoid them at all cost. If there's somebody that disgusts you, you probably will have a hard time becoming their friend. The other thing is, I think we have to have vision of faith, meaning we have to see them the way God sees them in the future after they're in relationship with him. Are any of you who are in relationship with Christ today a little better than you were before you met him? I am. Well, guess what? These people who are maybe far from you to develop a friendship with, there's a good chance after they meet their Creator that he may make some life changes and they may be actually a little different than they are today. Having a faith vision says you can see them the way they're going to become long before they are. And Jesus was so good at that. Do you realize that when he saw you before you really knew him, he saw you differently than you really were? He saw you how you were going to become. And you realize that there is not a created person on the face of this earth that Jesus Christ does not love. There's not one. There's not one in any prison, any neighborhood, any nation that he absolutely, positively is not in love with. So first of all, we need to see that. Now, you know what? I have a verse. It's Luke 15, 1 through 2. They're going to put it up on the screen, and I want you to look at this verse. And somebody asked me one time, why Club Relevant? This is my Club Relevant verse. If you ever wonder, why does this guy do Club Relevant? Tomorrow night, we're going to have a hardcore show in here with War of Ages and some of their friends, And it won't be like this, and I guarantee there'll be no tables or chairs here because they can become weapons. So we'll remove them, right? And the couches will be way in the back. It'll be a wide open room and concrete walls, and, you know, we'll pray that everybody's safe. But look at this verse. You got it, Stace? By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus. Now, can you imagine most pastors today, if they say, yeah, that's that pastor who hangs around with a lot of people with doubtful reputations. All right? And it goes on, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and he eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. The grumbling triggered this story. My father celebrated his 75th birthday the other day, and my sister and brother-in-law were down from Pennsylvania. My sister recently did this large conference up in New York City with, I don't know, a lot of people. And so they're sitting there, and these people said that they were from Virginia Beach, Chesapeake. And she goes, oh, really? My brother pastors down there. And they go, really? And my sister is one of the keynote speakers at this conference. And she goes, yeah. And she said, what's his name? And they said, well, his name's Mike Osmond. They call him P. Mike. They go, oh, we know him. And my sister kind of looked at him like, and yeah, he's kind of different. He kind of hangs out with a lot of people that we wouldn't approve of. I was thinking, yeah, that's what that said. That verse, you can put it back up and leave it up. That's what that verse said. Jesus hung out with a lot of people that religious people didn't approve of. Why? Because he goes on and says, healthy people don't need a doctor, only sick people do. And if you know Christ, the doctor lives inside of you, and the sick people that these people, the doctor these people need, lives inside of you. And so one of the challenges we have is, Jesus didn't just see these people from afar. Jesus says he ate with them. And back in that culture, if you shared a meal with somebody, that's kind of an intimate thing. That's not just a casual, you know, hi. That's like, come to my house, or I'm going to come to your house, and we're going to break bread. And, you know, very close friends did stuff like that, and family did that stuff. And the Jews would never do that with a non-Jew. Just totally unacceptable. And what Jesus was saying is, and they wouldn't do it with tax collectors, and they wouldn't do it with these people that Jesus was hanging out with. And he said, not only does he hang out with them, he eats with them. Meaning his level of concern and friendship went beyond casual stuff. He had walked across the room, and he says, hey, let's hang out. Yesterday, I went to the tattoo convention in Hampton. And there was a lot of really interesting people at this tattoo convention. And I figured I should probably practice this walk across the room thing. And so I prayed and said, Lord, where do you want me to go? And there's this one booth over there. And I walk over to this booth. And there's these two young adults there, right? And they're like, they would never make it through an airport. They had so much metal in their face and their body. Alarms would have been going off everywhere. And she says, hi, how are you? And I said, good, good. And I said, my name's Mike. And she says, my name's so-and-so. And she says, do you like sharp, pointy things? I'm going, okay, Holy Spirit, I just entered into the zone of the unknown. And I'm like, not really. Well, we've got all kinds of body piercings. Do you have any? I'm like, nope, not yet. And she goes, would you like some? I'm like, nope, not yet. She goes, well, we've got knives and swords too. And I'm like, I'm good. We got tasers too. I'm like, man, you people are really into hurting people around here, you know? So, but it was like, it was kind of like I was thinking, it was exciting though. And if you don't think I ever get caught off guard, I got caught off guard. You know, first question this young lady asked me is, do you like sharp, pointy things? And she's got them all over her face and body. And I'm thinking, no. But I'm thinking, but could I be your friend and not have sharp, pointy things stuck in my body? Because if I could, I'd really like to be your friend. Jesus ate with these people. We have a mission, a part of Harvest Assembly of God, in which a refuge is. It says we need to be people of open arms. You know, there's an interesting posture that I watch a lot of people in our particular area of the way we do church. And if worship's really good, they have a tendency to do one of these things where they lift their arms up and they open their arms wide open. You ever seen anybody worship like that? And I was thinking to myself today, if we really worship with arms wide open, the more we worship, the more our arms should be open to every single person in the world, especially those who are far from God. That the closer we get to God in worship, the closer we should get to his heart with our arms wide open for the unchurched. This verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Our attitude, we should have the same one he did. I don't think there's a human being Jesus ever met that he didn't want to love or want to be their friend. So the first D is develop friendships. Develop friendships, especially with people who are far from God. The next thing is discern stories. Meaning their stories before your story. Do you realize every person has a story? It's their life up to that point. It's their history. We need to be a people who will listen and learn. There's a reason God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We could listen twice as much as we speak. And just listen to their stories. Because if you listen and you're genuinely interested in them, what's going to happen is you're going to learn something about them, which is going to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to touch them. Yesterday, I was at a different environment that is completely outside of my comfort zone, and it was actually here. It's a gaming tournament. And in these gaming tournaments, there are individuals here that I never would have played with growing up as a kid. They're just not my, but I didn't play with people who had sharp, pointy things in their face either. I didn't. All right? So because of this sermon and because of this message, I said, you know what? I need to learn to walk across the room out of my comfort zone to hang out with some 25, 30-year-old gamers and start developing friendships. And so this one guy, and Stacy was with me, and he comes to the snack bar and to get a drink or whatever. And I said, hi. I said, how are you? And he kind of grumbled at me. And I said, what's your name? Right? And he said, Suman. I'm like, that's a cool name. What's it mean? He goes, I don't know. My dad just gave it to me. So you should ask your dad what it means. He says, he's dead. I'm going, okay, now this comfort zone thing just got a little, like, less comfortable. I'm sharing this so you don't think that it just is always easy and always just a conversation that flows right in. Please tell me how I can believe in Jesus. It doesn't always go that way right away for me. Well, we began to talk, and I began to listen to his story. You know what's really cool about him? He's in the Navy. You know who does in the Navy? He's on submarines. He's a fire control tech. He was on fast attack submarines, still is. Guess what I did in my previous life? And I'm not talking about reincarnation. I'm talking before I became a pastor. I was a submarine sailor, a fast attack submarine sailor. He couldn't believe that there was a preacher that had been a submarine sailor. And the next thing opened up, we began to open up this dialogue about just life and his career, and where he's going, and what's happening. I think he's been at every single gaming tournament we've had here, so I have a feeling he'll be back. And guess what will happen? Well, I'll continue to develop a friendship, but then I'll discern next steps. And so I'm thinking there's a couple of people that I've met recently that weren't normally a part of my circle. As you discover their stories and they begin to tell you things, you need to be radically accepting because they're liable to tell you stuff that are so contrary to your personal belief systems and your lifestyle that it'd be easy for you to judge them and reject them, and you have to avoid the desire or even some ways the tendency to do that and realize Christ is not judging them right now. And Christ is more concerned about knowing them than he is their lifestyle presently. And we'll be challenged with that. I would say you need to relax on your agenda. Meaning your agenda isn't to walk them across the faith line or prove to them why they're biblically wrong in some point of theology or doctrine. Your goal is what? To at one point have the privilege of giving them the greatest gift ever, and that's an introduction to their Creator. And so you just need to take a deep breath and be patient. I'm going to share another story real quick. There was this man. His name was Johnny. And when I started a church, I started a church in a bingo hall next to JB Galleries of Girls out in Portsmouth area on Georgia Washington Highway. Is it still there? It's still there. All right. And so I'd have church in a bingo hall on Sunday mornings because that's the only building I could find. And Johnny rented me his building. He couldn't figure out what kind of preacher would have church in a bingo hall, but I had two options, a funeral home or a bingo hall. And I'm thinking, I'd rather have it in a bingo hall than around some caskets. It just seemed kind of weird to me at the time, you know. Hey, come to my church. Where do you meet? In the funeral home. No, that's kind of weird. We're not going there. All right. So I began to develop relationships. I'd see Johnny there, and I'd be cleaning up and stuff. And I don't know if anybody here ever been to a bingo hall when it's in operation? Man, they're nasty. No, they're just really, they were back, and they could back then, they could smoke in them and everything, and the smoke, and it was just, and the bathrooms were disgusting. I mean, it was really rough to clean this place up and try to do church. And it's really funny, one of my church members was a beautiful woman of God named Barbara Johnson, who is Pat Robertson's personal administrative assistant at CBN. And she'd come into this bingo hall and have church with me on Sundays just to help me out because she lived in my neighborhood. It was so cool. But anyways, I began to develop friendship with Johnny, and then Johnny would ask me to go boating with him, and we'd go boating, and we'd hang out, and I'd learn about his son and his grandkids and his family and all this stuff. But we had never got to the point of discussing his introduction to his Creator. And then one night I had a dream. I was praying for him, and I said, Lord, just show me how to reach Johnny. And I had this dream one night. And in this dream, Johnny had died, and Johnny was standing before the Lord in heaven. And I was there for some reason during this encounter. And the Lord basically told Johnny, depart from me, I never knew you. And Johnny's like, wait a minute. I let a preacher rent my building, and I've got a preacher who's my friend, and I sent my kids to Christian schools, and I've given all this money to this. And Jesus says, yeah, but I never knew you, Johnny. And then Johnny looked at me, and he said, did you know this was going to happen to me? Why is this my first introduction to my Creator? Why didn't you tell me? And this is my dream. And I woke up literally like in the sweats. I was just like, and I don't have a lot of dreams. Well, there used to be this restaurant in Deep Creek called Dixieland. It was a good old boy restaurant. That's where all the NASCAR people went. And I used to go there once or twice a week just to develop friendships. Well, I knew Johnny would be there every day before he went to work. At 4:00 in the morning, I was sitting in that parking lot waiting for Johnny too to show up. He showed up around 5:00 just as he opened the doors. And he says, Mike, he said, preacher, what are you doing up so early? I said, we got to talk. He goes, what? I'm like, yeah. He said, everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, but we got to talk. He says, sure, man. So we grabbed a table, and he bought me breakfast. We're sitting there, and he said, man, what's wrong? I said, Johnny, I really love you. He said, man, I love you, Mike. You're like one of my best friends. And then I just started getting choked up. I says, Johnny, if this ruins my friendship with you, then so be it. But I got to tell you, do you know what happens when you breathe your last breath on this earth, do you know what happens next? He says, I don't know. I guess, like, you know, everybody goes to heaven, right? And I said, everybody goes initially. Not everybody stays. He says, where does everybody else go? He says, so I want to talk to you about Johnny. And I sat there for about 40 minutes, and I shared the entire gospel with Johnny, and I watched him teared up. And I said, are we still friends? He says, you're the best friend I could ever have. I can't think of another man that had enough guts to tell me what you just told me. Yeah, we're friends. I said, now what? He says, now I have to decide, heaven or hell. But that dream will never come true, because I'll never be able to look at you and say, you didn't tell me. And he says, hey, on a lighter note, you want to go boating tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, I do. I wish I could tell you, sitting at that table, Johnny bowed his head and received Christ. He didn't. But once again, remember, that's not the goal. The goal is an introduction to the Father. And it was 2.5 years of relationship with Johnny before I ever felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to get to that place and tell him that. Final step. Discern next steps. What do you do next? You've developed a friendship. You've discovered their story. Next step, pray for them. Pray for them. Ask God to show you how you can minister into their story. Maybe they share about a certain need in your life, and maybe there's a book or a tape or a CD or something that talks just about what they need, give it to them. You're a friend now. Look for opportunities. Always be sensitive to Holy Spirit about your next step with your friend. They used to have a saying around called friendship evangelism, which always kind of bothered me, because what it really meant, you're just friends. You never ever get to the point of telling them. That's not friendship either. That's just hanging out with somebody. A real friend at one point will probably have an opportunity in a relational, non-confrontational way, share with them how they can have an introduction to their Creator. And it'll be natural. It won't be hard for you. Now, sometimes, and we're going to show a video here as part of my closing. Sometimes when you go to walk across the room and you leave your comfort zone, and you go to the zone of the unknown, you're going to meet somebody that so radically already knows God that it will change your life. I met this person yesterday at a tattoo convention, and she's 17 years old, and she could teach me how to walk across the room. Listen to her story.
And they told me that there was a little baby girl abandoned, and would I be her foster mother? And I had a feeling that I had a feeling that this was someone special. So I was like, absolutely. And they told me she had been born on Christmas Eve. And so I went. It was the next day. They told me that I could go to the hospital and pick her up. She was just the most beautiful baby I've ever seen. And I just felt instant love for her. They said, well, what would you name her? And I said, Mariah, because it means a gift from God. I had lost 5 babies. So I prayed for a long time. For a child. And Mariah is, I believe, the answer to a million prayers.
I've been blessed with an amazing family and an amazing mother who adopted me, so that's what keeps me going.
And she was a little girl, and friends would come over to play. She would always want to be giving her toys to them. And I'd say, no, you can't do that. You got there for Christmas. So what we had to do, We had to go to like the dollar store and we got a basket, a gift basket, and we filled it up with a lot of things so that when her friends left or she had friends over, she could give them a present and it would be something. Mariah would always notice things and notice people, and she would notice suffering, and she would always point it out. She was she's a very compassionate young lady. We had gone to eat, and then the homeless man came up, and he had, well, probably everything he owned with him.
It was tragic to see him living that way, without a home, without any warmth, without any food. So I just wanted to do what I could. We had a blanket in the back of our car, and I got out and gave it to him, and it just broke my heart.
When we got home, she went upstairs, and she went to our linen closet, and she came down, and she was still in tears, and she had a big pile of blankets in her hand, and she said, "I don't even recognize these," because, and that's how Blankets for the Homeless was started.
Sunrise begin to rise. Take me by complete surprise. I see you before me, the countryside. Highs and lows with sorrows hiding.
We typically buy all of this, but we started to get a lot of donations, which has been really helpful. It usually takes about 2.5 hours to load the car with all of the blankets and the food. Never get tired of it. Every homeless person that I've met has been very memorable and has broke my heart in some way.
They have come and brought us blankets and food and jackets, and it doesn't matter where we stay, they find us and they come to us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you guys.
Be a lover all the life.
Would you guys like a blanket or lunch?
Every time they have said yes, and they've been very receptive and very appreciative.
Thank God that there's people like Bill.
Oh, thank you.
Because we all been so good, you know?
Thank
it's
you.
Wonderful.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you so much.
God bless you.
Like a hammer, I will see you.
We know that God is keeping us safe the entire time. We're going, and he guides us to where we're going, and we just know that in some way we're going to make a difference with God's help.
A lot of people have said to me, you're setting such a good example for your child. And I think, no, it's Mariah who's setting the example for me.
Like an arrow, I will fly.
Excuse me, would you like a blanket or a lunch?
Like a lover, I will fly.
I hope that we get a lot more help to help the homeless, and I hope this changes people's minds on how they view the homeless, and I hope it changes the homeless people's lives.
Knowing her circumstances, I do think that makes her more aware. In reality, she was homeless in the beginning of her life, and so she feels a need. A drive to help as many people as she can.
I walked across the room at a tattoo convention to minister to Mariah. When I got done, I was like, "You're the most amazing walk across the room people I've ever met at the age of 17. I said, "How do you know who to go to?" She says, "I just asked the Lord who he wants me to be friends with. And I give him a blanket and I give him a meal. And over time, they have a tendency to see some of the same people a lot, and they're developing friendships. And she's going to come, and she's going to share some sunny night here and hang out with us and then allow us to collect blankets and jackets. And I said, well, it's not going to be cold much longer. And, of course, typical Pastor Mike put my foot in my mouth, and so they're not going to need blankets. And she asked me, she says, don't you use blankets in the summer at your house? They sleep on the ground. They always need blankets. I'm like, duh. Silly me. I'm going to pass out some cards, and I'd like you all to take one or two, and if you could just kind of spread them around, and I'll tell you what to do with them in a moment. There's one more verse I'm going to put up there. It's the last verse for the evening, and then I just want to pray for you and maybe take a moment and answer some questions. And this card is just for you. You're not going to turn it in anywhere. This is for you to keep with you. And we'll take extra ones and we'll stick them in the back. And I'm going to start bringing some more. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to spend some time, even tonight, maybe before you go to bed, and just two questions. Question number one is, Lord, who is it in my life that you want me to walk across the room for? Is there somebody that you're already sensing that God really wants you to begin to develop a friendship with? All right, because remember, once you decide to walk across the room, the living 3D is develop friendships, right? And then discover their story, right? And then discern next steps. And so the purpose of this card is that you would put that person's name on there. And you'd put their name on there. Like I'd put Sue Man's name on one of my cards, and I would put that down. All right? And now what happens is I'm going to begin to pray for Sue Man. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are next steps? And I'm going to jot down the next steps on the card. Because remember, this whole principle of evangelism isn't just go out and like grab a hold of people and confront them. The whole thing is walk across the room, develop relationships, listen to their story and discern next steps. But the whole issue is just to be led by the Holy Spirit. Allow God to lead you into those relationships. All right? And then just relax. He loves them and wants to be in relationship more than you'll ever want them to be in relationship. And he wants that more than you. And so he'll guide you. And I just want to encourage you is, you know, and hopefully some of my stories, some of my encounters this week, they were a little bit on the edge even for me, and somebody thinking, wow, if they're on the edge for you, Pastor Mike. But no, literally, there's some areas that would be so comfortable for you. I watched Jamie Cheek around here with the gamers, and he's like, he are one of them. He plays games with them, and the whole deal. I don't even know how to operate those little buttons. And I mean, he does, and he's got friends, and he hangs out with them. For me, that's a whole different culture that's hard for me to cross into, but they're in my life all the time, and so God wants me to. Does that make sense? There was a day with the hardcore metal kids would have been such an awkward place for me. It's a very comfortable place for me now. For you, that might be a very uncomfortable place. A bowling league would be kind of weird for me. But for some of you, that might be easy. But take the card and ask the Lord, Lord, who is it that you'd like me to walk across the room for? And then begin to write down, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just write it down. And then ask him just to give you courage. And here's this last verse that is just so important in my life, and it's found in Colossians 4:5. It says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. That's the goal. You live among them wisely, and you make the most of opportunities God gives you. Does that make sense? And so all of a sudden, this whole issue of, okay, being a walk across the room Christian now becomes an exciting adventure that you have a partnership with God to just see what happens. And all the results are up to him. We just walk. Amen? Questions? Comments? About last week or this week? And all these messages get put up on the podcast too. So if you missed one, you know, we have two more weeks after this. You can just listen to it and just kind of follow along. Anybody have a question or a comment about tonight, maybe specifically? Yeah.
What's like
The site is on harvestva.org. It's on the main Harvest site, and there, it'll actually say Refuge 529 service, along with all services from Sunday morning. It's usually up Tuesday or Wednesday following Sunday. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she was literally abandoned on Christmas Eve. And somebody walked across the room for her. And now she's spending her life walking across the rooms for others. Such a sweet personality, so humble, so meek. She was like so excited to see a pastor at the tattoo convention. I said, there's probably not many of them. But the reality is, guess what? There's a whole lot of people who don't even know Jesus yet that are helping her introduce people to Jesus. So, any other comments? Let me pray for you. Let's just bow our heads if that you're comfortable with that. Let me just pray for you. Father, I pray for each person sitting here tonight. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight who hasn't haven't yet said yes to you. Maybe they've been around church. Maybe this is the first night. But maybe they haven't quite said, you know what? Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I want to be living with my Creator living in me. That even right now, where you're sitting, you would just say, Lord Jesus, right now, may this be my introduction to you. Come into my life. I want to follow you. I want to help introduce other people to you. And Father, for some of us sitting here that maybe spent such a long time when we were first introduced to you that somehow we just kind of lost, I don't know, we just lost some excitement in it. Lord, bring it back. Bring it back. May it be fun serving you. God, I thank you for Mariah. I thank you for every walk across the room, Christian. Lord, help me, help the Refuge community be walk across the room Christians. If we could be known for anything in the world, may it not be our buildings or our budgets or whatever, may it be those are a group of people that will walk across the room and develop friendships and give away the greatest gift a man could give anybody. It's an introduction to their Creator. May we be those kind of people on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. God bless you.